where we're starting something new in our tithes and offerings. I'm super, super excited about it. The Psalms have just been coming to life for me lately. I've shared in an email before that a psalm a day keeps the devil away. And if you read a psalm a day, you're going to find something. There are so many nuggets in Psalms, you just can't get away from it. And I think that, you know, when you want to know what God's heart is like, he said that David was a man after his own heart. And so you can see a lot of God's heart in this. But what I love the most is I love reading Psalms to see what David said, because I know it applies to my life. David was not perfect in any stretch of the imagination. You can even see in the family order, he was last. So in those days, being last of about, I think it's like 8 or 9 boys in his family, you're not high up in rank for inheriting a lot. It tells us in Psalm 51 that David himself says that in sin I was conceived from my mother's womb. So there's a lot of speculation of maybe he was conceived out of wedlock or something happened. But there was a heaviness that was hung over his life. And you can see that because when Samuel comes to anoint one of the sons of Jesse, where is David? He's with the sheep. Does it say that Jesse was a shepherd, that his family, that's what his family did? I think it was one of the things that the family did, because the rest of the boys weren't out there. If they had been a shepherding family, then all of the boys would have had some kind of role, because that was the family business, right? And where do we find David when Samuel arrives? He is out with the sheep. You kind of wonder why, right? Let the little one do it. Send him out there. So this is the picture I want you to get. This is a young man, probably between 13 and 17, somewhere in that range. And he is out all the time with sheep. Those are his companions. And so when we start to read Psalm 23, we have to remember to look at it from the eyes of a shepherd. Okay? Not just looking on the outside, but he knew what it meant to be a shepherd. He knew that his sheep, God love them, were not the smartest animals out there. He had to lead them and guide them to places where they could eat. He had to lead them and guide them to water. He had to make sure to take care of them because they could get diseases. They can't defend themselves. They are like a defenseless animal. Normally, all of God's animals have some kind of defense. Sheep really don't have anything. That's why you had to have someone with them all the time, right? All the time, watching over them and protecting them. He knew all these things. You can read Psalm 23, just for the sake of time, in the NIV or the King James Version at home, but I would like to read you Psalm 23 in the Passion Translation. In verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough." Just stop and think about that for a second. Here's a young kid out in the middle of nowhere with sheep. And who does he identify as his best friend? The Lord. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. And actually that word shepherd in the Hebrew means best friend. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place to me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. That's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me pathways to God's pleasure and leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to his name. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me. For you already have. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. You become my delicious feast, even when my enemies dare to fight. You anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all that I can drink of you until my heart overflows. So why would I fear the future? For your goodness and your love pursue me all the days of my life. And then afterwards, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be with you forever. Wow. This out of a heart of a 13 to 17-year-old. It's really powerful, very moving. And we're going to begin taking this apart. And you might be saying, what does that have to do with finances? Everything. Everything. We can call God our Lord and our King, our Master, our Father, but he's something else. He's our great shepherd. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. A stranger can't come among them because they know my voice. They've been trained to know my voice. As our great shepherd, we can look at the things that David knew about shepherding sheep and how he translates that with the Lord and with him. Because he knows if God is my shepherd, if he's my best friend, then he is going to always do what's best for me. He's going to always provide for me because he loves me. Out in the middle of nowhere, David's best friend became his Lord and Savior. He knew. That's why he could say in the next sentence where it says, the Lord is my shepherd, and in the NIV it says, I lack nothing. In the Passion it says, I always have more than enough. I lack nothing. I always have more than enough. I lack nothing. I always have more than enough. When the world comes in and tries to tell you a lie, your heart should instantly recognize, wait, no, 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 no. I will lack nothing. I will have more than enough. Why? Because my shepherd is my best friend. He's going to take care of me, and he's going to provide for me. I told the Lord, what a timely word in this season. But the Lord also reminded me that knowing who he is in your life is extremely important. This psalm was written by David in the same time frame that he faced the biggest obstacle of his young life, Goliath. He was able to walk up to this uncircumcised Philistine when men twice his age who had already fought in battles, already seen God be faithful, were cowering in tents. And he walked onto that field with a slingshot. Do you think he put his trust in his slingshot and in a stone? Absolutely not. He put his trust in his best friend. And someone was talking dirt and trash about his best friend. And he was able to walk onto that field full. What does he say? I love the part that it says, you give me all that I can drink of you until my heart overflows. There wasn't fear in his mind when he walked out on that field. Why? Because his heart was full of his shepherd, his best friend, his love was overflowing in David's life. There was no fear in that young man. And we faced obstacles all the time where the enemy comes up larger than life, bigger than a mountain. I say today, let's take some lessons from a youthful young man. If you don't know who your good shepherd is, if you don't know that the Lord is there to be your best friend, that when you walk out in that field, you're going to shake like nothing else. Because your heart isn't going to be overflowing with his love because you don't know whose you are and you don't know who he is. And how do we find that out? David was in the presence of the Lord all the time. Does that mean he stopped working? No. He had to be vigilant with the sheep. He had to always be watching for danger. He had to be doing all the things that a shepherd does. But that doesn't mean he didn't stay in his presence all the time. We know David was a worshiper. He was always worshiping God. He was always singing. That's what a psalm is. It's a song. It's another name for a song. He was always singing, always in the presence of the Lord. I challenge you today, if you're looking at the things around you and your knees are quaking, go be with your Heavenly Father. Go be in His presence. Praise Him. Worship Him. Spend time in His Word. Start with the Psalms. Like I said, this was a young man that was called having a heart after God's. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to respond like everybody else and go run and hide. We don't have to. Because our hearts can be overflowing with His love. With His love. So we can be like David. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough, or I lack nothing. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings today. Father, we just thank You for this timely word, that You are our best friend, our shepherd, and that You will always provide for us. Always. Always. There are no clauses in there. It doesn't say only when it's good ground. It doesn't say only when everything's going right. It doesn't say only when He thinks you deserve it. It doesn't say only when or if or but maybe. It doesn't say any of those things. It says, the Lord is my best friend, my shepherd. I lack nothing. I have more than enough. No clauses. And I pray, Father, today this would sink into our hearts and our minds, that there are no clauses. If there were no clauses then, You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. There are no clauses right now. We will lack nothing. We will have more than enough. We praise You for Your faithfulness, God. I pray today that every heart in this place would long, like David did, to be in Your house. Better is one day in Your court than 1,000 elsewhere. That we pant after You like a deer pants for water. That we long to be in Your presence so that our heart is overflowing with Your love. So we know who You are and we know whose we are. And we can rest in that. Encourage people today. Strengthen them, Father. We pray over every seed that is sown, God, a multiplied harvest. Even when the world is quaking in fear, Father, You're going to provide exceedingly abundantly above income, wealth transfer, debt cancellation, God. We just thank You the money is coming in from the north, the south, and the east, and the west, that we're going to be able to testify of the goodness of God in the times where it looks like there shouldn't be enough. There is more than enough, so that we can give to every good work, that we wouldn't pull back during this month, but we would give and give and give and give in faith. We just praise You and we thank You for this, Lord. And we thank You that You are our best friend and our shepherd today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, let's pray over this word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what Your Spirit is saying to us today. Somebody say today. You have a today word for us, God. And You're not up there shaking in your sandals. We know that You are in control of our lives, Lord. We give You control, Lord. We do as our president said today. We pray over our nation, the peace of God, the healing power of God to come. And we rebuke this vile spirit of infirmity, the coronavirus. We take authority over it. And we break your power in the name and by the blood of Jesus. We pray for those who've been affected by it, who are battling it, or the families of those who maybe have lost a loved one with it. For all those who are on the front lines, you know, the healthcare department, hospitals, nursing homes, God, we apply the blood of Jesus over them, and we speak hope and healing, Father God, that they are quickly coming up, Lord, as they've already told us, Lord, there's going to be a remedy. What's the word, a vaccination or whatever they do quickly, Lord. And we rebuke it right now in the spirit, and we just thank You, Lord. We claim the healing of God on our nation, on the world, Lord Jesus, and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Well, as I was in my Faith Foundations class this morning, Pastor Greg was teaching, and he was talking about, one of the things he was talking about was the supermoons. Did you see the moon the other night? How big? I mean, it's just, wow. Well, I had forgotten that, you know, I've been doing a little more studying and so forth on some of the Jewish holidays and feasts and the feasts of the Lord, Israel. And one of the holidays recently was Purim, which is the story of Queen Esther, right? And what a marvelous victory. If you've never read the book of Esther, read it. It won't take you long. But it's just another tremendous victory of God delivering his people. Well, these super moons, one of them is on Purim this year. Another one's going to be on Passover this year. And then there's another one that's going to be like on Rosh Hashanah. I don't remember what it is. But three super moons on these Jewish, you know, biblical holidays, feasts of the Lord. And he was sharing that the prophetic word is that when these super moons mean royalty, and that it's a prophecy that the Davidic kingdom is going to return to planet Earth. And who is Jesus? Son of David. So as Shelley was sharing that from Psalm 23, I remembered that. So when you see these big moons, just remind yourself, see that devil? See that coronavirus or whatever demons are trying to harass us? And guess who's coming back? Jesus is returning to this planet. All these signs in the heavens, and even the tough things, the word of God says you know, we shouldn't be caught unaware by these kind of things. When there's a virus or a storm or some tragedy that happens on planet Earth, right? These are signs that Jesus is coming soon. Everybody say that. Jesus is coming soon. He's coming back. Amen. But we, as believers, we don't lose heart. And, you know, months and years down the road, when people are listening to this message, they might be thinking, what in the world? What is he talking about? Well, we're talking about the coronavirus threat, you know, of 2020. Amen. And how God is delivering his people. And whatever we go through, we have the promise of God's supernatural delivering power. Amen. So we need to keep our eyes on that. And I would tell you, as the body and whoever listens to this later, they tell us, you know, and we ought not be spreading germs, cover the cough, you know, air hugs, whatever, wash your hands. But let me tell you this, as a pastor, as a leader in the kingdom of God, do not be a vector of fear. Do not be spreading fear viruses. You are faith people. Spread faith. Let me tell you this, faith is contagious. If you are speaking words of faith to people and giving them hope, that will spread also. Amen? Give people something to, you know, latch onto outside of dread, outside of fear, outside of the, you know, this virus or whatever else. Amen? Somebody say, I'm a faith person. So wherever we go, we're spreading hope. We're spreading faith. We're spreading God's word to people. Amen? And that doesn't mean we just ignore washing hands, right? That doesn't mean we just blow on past the county saying, here is your parameters for having meetings. That's stupid, right? That's dumb. We're not talking that. We're just saying we're not living in fear. We're not hiding from people. Amen? We're believing God for a change. Somebody say now. A change now. And you know whose hands he's put that in? The church. So if Christians are forgetting that, they need to come back and remember that. It's my job to say what God says, to not allow this kind of stuff to come on planet Earth. Amen? Praise the Lord. A lot of people just get this thing in their head, well, we're waiting for God to do it. Well, he's already done it. And that's what we're going to talk about right now. Amen? Last week we talked about Passover. Today I want to talk to you about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Oh, that sounds deep and heavy, doesn't it? Well, it's not. Amen? And if you have your Bible, look at Exodus chapter 12. And I'm not going to preach as long as I normally do today, I don't believe, but we'll trust the Lord, right? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 through 17. And the Bible says this, and God is speaking, you know, through Moses to Moses regarding the children of Israel who have just been supernaturally delivered. See, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you think what the children of Israel were dealing with was probably worse than what's happening today here? Amen. They just got delivered from Egypt, man, and slavery and all these things. So this day shall be to you a memorial. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout all your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Verse 15, 7 days, everybody say 7 days. You shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day, you shall remove leaven from your houses, for whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the verse 16, on the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. Verse 17, so you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. Everybody say the feast of unleavened bread, right? For on this same day, I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt, which represents the world, slavery, you know, abuse, all these terrible things, poverty, you know, you name it, sickness. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. And as I was, you know, remembering this and doing a little bit of research, even today, Jewish families have a 7 day period where they take all bread out of their house, and they'll even go through and clean the cabinets, and they, you know, they make it a game for the kids, and they get matzah. I was actually matzah to bring it in today, but Safeway, would you know? I couldn't find it. You know? Yeah, like Shelley said, yeah, I couldn't share it anyway. Well, I was going to show you, but you know, the cupboards were bare. No matzah. Right, and it looks like it looks like a big cracker. It's bread, but there's no leaven in it. Right, and I happen to remember this is kind of significant because if you notice our shelf over there, there's no bread. Right, and normally most of our snacks are what? Breaded stuff because we like bread. I like the little cinnamon rolls and the little donut holes, and so it was just kind of like the Lord was saying, use that. Right? So what's the Lord doing with us right now? He's giving us an illustration. Look how clean and shiny that shelf is. Why? Because there ain't no bread. The leaven has been removed from the building. In fact, that looks so, you could probably lick that counter right now. It looks so clean, right? Amen. But leaven represents sin in the Bible. It represents disease. It represents death, right? They were talking about how when bread rises, it's actually the rotting process that causes bread to rise, right? And so Jesus came, and how does Jesus fulfill this? Well, we understand that Jesus became the bread himself. What did he say? My body, I am the bread of life. And he was talking about unleavened bread. Let's read some scriptures here. First of all, this picture on the wall is Jesus, an example of the story we're talking about, of this entire idea that Jesus fulfills the spring feast. Amen? It's important to understand that because a lot of people get caught up in the feast itself, even Christians, get so focused on the feast that we miss the freedom in the feast, that we miss Jesus, that we forget Jesus fulfilled the feast. The spring feast. The fall feasts are prophetic feasts regarding his return to planet Earth. The spring feasts remind us of things he's already done. The fall feasts remind us that he's coming back again. Amen? It's so great. And we did some teaching on this last fall that you can find or we can get to you. But amen. But this is the story from Matthew chapter 5. Actually, I think I got that wrong. It's actually Matthew 17, so I'll fix that. But after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. This is Matthew 17, 1 through 5. His clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Peter was probably a little out of his mind at that point, right? While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Somebody say, hear him. God was speaking to Peter saying, listen, Peter, it ain't about Moses. It ain't about Elijah. It ain't about the law. It ain't about the prophets. It's about Jesus. So I'm holding up my Bible right now. Who's this book about? It's about Jesus. From Genesis through Revelation, it's about Jesus. He either fulfilled it or he's going to fulfill it. Amen? And so when we come to these feasts, it's important to have that established. Amen? Now, we love Moses, we love Elijah, but they would be the first to tell you, it ain't about me, it's about Jesus. So don't come to the meal to celebrate me. Amen? And Mark 14, 12, if you have the notes page, I listed several verses there. We're just gonna march through them here. But Mark 14, 12 says this. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb. Now, see, so these holidays kind of overlap, right? The Feast of Unleavened Bread happens during the Passover season, right? On the first day of, this is thousands of years later for Moses to Jesus, right? Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, now you remember from last week, right, who the Passover lamb is. Jesus fulfilled that, didn't he? Amen? There's better blood now, based for better promises, right? Better blood than lambs and goats and pigeons and bulls, the blood of Jesus. Amen? That's why we don't have to be afraid of a virus, because there's better blood. Amen? Glory to God. His disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" So this is just an example that they are going to celebrate this Feast of Unleavened Bread together. So everything that we read about when we hear the Last Supper, as we call it, the Lord's Supper, they're having Passover, they're eating unleavened bread. So when he breaks the bread, well, let's just read on. Matthew 26, 26. As they were eating, Jesus took bread. He took unleavened bread, okay? Blessed and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, take. Somebody say, take. That's a powerful, powerful word. When we're in the Word of God, when we're in church, when we're believing God for something, the word believe also means take. So in other words, the Holy Ghost isn't just going to come and jam something down your throat and make you do it, right? No, we have to take it. Amen? We have to take the leaven out. I have to take. The other day when we heard about this room being rented by somebody else 3 days before church again, and it was going to be 2 weeks in a row of 2 o'clock services, I had to take out the bad attitude that was trying to come on me, and Shelly helped me. Husbands and wives, we help one another to stay on track, right? Amen? So, take and eat, this is my body. So he broke that piece of unleavened bread. Amen? And don't you know, Jesus' body was broken so our bodies could be well. Amen? Don't you know what Jesus did for us, what he was about to do on the cross, at the whipping post, with the crown of thorns, with the Garden of Gethsemane, all those places that we went through last week where he shed his blood, he's removing the curse of sin off of the planet. Isn't that powerful? Only one man could do that. Only one man. Somebody say, only one man. Only one man could do that, and he was about to do it, right? He's fulfilling the feast. Do you see it? Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 7 through 8 says this. Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be, this is Paul talking now, right? That you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness. See, there he's talking about sin and so forth, right? But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I choose the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I choose Jesus. Now, when I was looking for the matzah at Safeway yesterday, I found all kinds of leaven. I mean, Lord mercy, we think we're running out of food. We ain't running out of food. I mean, yeah, there was bare shelves and spots, but man, 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 oh man, crackers, chips, cookies, bread, donuts. Hurry! Brother Hankins was talking about fill in your basket with praises today. You know, he's like, you got one basket full of all your issues and it's outweighing your praises. You need to fill your basket of praises up and that will outweigh your issues. And in my head, I'm remembering everyone at the grocery stores and their baskets are overflowing with toilet paper and cases of water and whatever else they think they're going to die if they don't have it in their house. Right? And you're thinking, no, fill up your basket with the praises of God, right? But the point is that Jesus is the bread of life. If we just keep our eyes on him, right? And the point there also is that the world has all kinds of stuff out there it's offering. And it looks good and it tastes good, but it will make you sick. Right? I'm talking spiritual stuff, right? Only one. Somebody say only one. Only one Jesus. Somebody say take him. And let me assure you, we have to take him. He's not forcing himself on anybody. We have to choose to believe him, choose to stay in faith, choose to be in church, choose to be in the word, right? Choose to stop sinning. Amen. Somebody say we can do it. With the Holy Ghost, with the blood, with faith, with the church. Amen. We can do it. We're overcoming. So Paul says this, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Somebody just say, come to Jesus. Amen. Do I have 5 more minutes, honey? 5 more minutes? Are we good? Are we good? I got to keep rolling. Yep. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. I thought I had changed that. So just a correction to that. It is actually 1 Corinthians 5. In fact, I did change it. It must not have saved. Thank you for reminding me of that. Yeah. So 2 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8. I'm sorry. Let's say it one more time. It is 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 through 8. And that's hilarious because I see myself changing that because I noticed it. So I must, who knows? Who knows? But Paul did say this. Amen, right? And then Mark chapter 8, verse 15, then he charged them saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Amen. So Jesus is warning his people, watch out for the leaven of religion and the leaven of the world. And there's plenty of it out there. Somebody say, only one Jesus. The difference is my faith is in him. My faith isn't in myself saving me. My faith isn't in the world and doing what the world says to do. My faith is in Jesus and him alone. It's a very simple thing, right? Sometimes people think it's too simple. Oh, this is stupid. Well, you know, what's the scripture about the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing? I'm not on the perishing list. If you buy 17 boxes of donuts, right? Hallelujah. There'll be a date on there for when it's going to perish. Amen. Somebody say, I'm not on the perishing list because my faith is in Jesus, right? The unleavened bread of faith in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. This one I know is 2 Corinthians, but you're right because I remember noticing that. I don't know why I didn't change, but hallelujah. I wish that was the only mistake I've made lately, but 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteous of God in him. So see, Jesus became the leaven of sin on the cross. Amen. He became it so that you and I, by our faith in him, could be made the righteousness of God. So no more, if your faith is in Jesus, you don't go around calling yourself an old sinner. You are saved. You're born again. We're all in the process of renewing our minds and growing in God, but don't go degrading yourself. Even if we all have issues that the Lord helps us to overcome, but we need to remember this. Jesus became that sin so that I could become his righteousness. Amen. And then finally, Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Say out loud, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Amen. That's powerful. That's all the leaven stuff out there. All the stuff that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He's redeemed us from that fear. All this trash that the world or religion or whatever tries to put on us. We just say, no. I'm not taking that because I took Jesus. Amen. having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. See, even how he was, as we're heading toward Easter and all in resurrection season, how he was executed is not just a chance thing. He was crucified because to fulfill this word right here, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So therefore, the curse, and let me assure you, stuff like the coronavirus is on the curse list. This isn't some new thing the devil cooked up. It's on, if it kills, steals, or destroys. See, you know, I'm in pest control. You have a little list, right, Randy, on how to identify a bug and what it is. What is it doing? What does it look like? Where is it? Amen. Well, if it kills, if it steals, if it destroys, curse. If it gives life and brings the blessing of God, points people to Jesus. If it's, you know, God gives life. Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. The devil, his little to-do list on the fridge, right? Kill. Or actually, no, steal. What is he going to steal? The word. If he steals the word out of our hearts, then he has permission to come in and to kill and destroy. Amen. So what do? We say no. And we don't question it. Like, oh, is this, again, back to this coronavirus, we're closing up. Is this somehow God's plan for us? Is this in God's infinite wisdom? Is this the judgment of God? No, we don't go there. We say, you know what? No, this is on the curse list. Jesus has redeemed me. That's on the leaven list. Amen. And our souls and our minds ought to look like that clean shelf over there. Amen. Before God. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Just thank the Lord. Somebody just say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I receive it. Hallelujah. And like Brother Hankins was saying this morning, ha, ha, ha. Just laugh at the devil because he's a loser. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand up on your feet this morning? We're going to pray and wrap it up. Father, we thank you for your marvelous word today. We thank you, Jesus, for being our unleavened bread today. We put our faith in you. Just take a moment and search your heart to say, Lord, remove the leaven out of my life. Any sin, any issues, anything that isn't right, just say, Lord, I bring it to you today. In Jesus' mighty name. Just say, unleaven my life, Lord. In Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Ghost. And we'll give you all the praise and glory. Somebody say amen. Amen. You are dismissed.